This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. We've got our next guest in the studio, Macca. Who do we have?
Well, this is going to be a bit of a karma conversation. Karma as in C-A-L-M-E-R. Andrew Stage is the CEO of the Pinnacle Foundation. And I want to welcome you, Andrew. It's nice to see you. See you in the studio again. And you're not going to the Grand Prix later, are you?
I'm not. I actually forgot it was on. I thought I wasn't going to make it in time.
I thought that, you know, that checkered shirt, which our listeners can't see, you know, you could be a bit of a, you know, a flag marshal almost. But tell our listeners what the Pinnacle Foundation is, what it does, and what's on the horizon.
Fabulous. Thank you, Macca. The Pinnacle Foundation is Australia's LGBTQIA+ education charity. Our flagship program awards educational scholarships to young LGBTQIA+ Australians to study at university or TAFE in their chosen discipline, full-time study for the duration of their studies. And we match every scholar we support with a mentor who's walked the scholar's path. So Someone who shares the same gender identity, sexual identity, and who works at a more progressed field in the field that the scholar is studying. And then around the scholars in every state and territory, we put the support of what we term the Pinnacle family, and we use that term advisedly to support the scholars and give them connections to community, because as we still know, too many young people are growing up in environments where they're being rejected by their families or communities or faiths because of how they identify. And they will talk about my Pinnacle family, and we, you know, we connect the scholars in. So the theory and what works is we take the scholars through their studies, we give them support, we give them funds, and at the end of it, they go on to contribute to society and give back themselves.
Andrew, what I find so impressive, one of the many things I find impressive about the Pinnacle Foundation is its ability to measure its impact, because what gets measured gets done.
Yes.
And being able to tell that story to people illustrates why this is still so important, because as you've highlighted, it's not just the scholarship, that's an incredibly important part, but the mentorship connects people into that community. And some of the success stories here on the Pinnacle Foundation website is 98% of Pinnacle Foundation scholars successfully complete their studies.
Yeah.
And when we look at that from a comparative lens, whether it's students who go to university on a similar scholarships but don't have that level of support, that is incredible and something to be so proud of.
Yes, it is really good. And considering that
it's outstanding.
Yeah. Thank you, Mac.
It's not good. It's
I'm being humble. It's even sort of more powerful when you consider that there are a lot of intersectionalities that come through with the scholar cohort that we have. About 42% of our scholar cohort have grown up in rural, regional and remote parts of the country. About a third are from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, often with a faith overlay. Mm. We have, I think it's 9% of our incoming scholar cohort this year identify or are part of the Indigenous community. And many of our scholars have report disability or challenges that have come about because of the sustained abuse or bullying or, you know, the things that they face. So we used to talk about marginalisation and disadvantage being terms used to describe our scholars. We obviously have moved well away from those words, but the sort of underlying theme is that we are there to support young people who otherwise would miss out on the benefits of education and that support of community as well.
How do you, Andrew, how do you, I suppose, you talk about the Pinnacle family, you know, so a person is awarded a scholarship and that supports them financially, but also, you know, the mental support and, you know, the networking support and the encouragement. I think that component can be, because you're going to have to rely on, you know, people that will fit within this circle, that their experience is relevant.
Yes.
Or that, you know, they understand, you know, the issues and the challenges. How do you manage that? Because that's, I mean, how many current scholarships yes. do you have?
So that? We're supporting 103 oh, scholars wow. across the country.
Wow.
And each of the scholars has at least one mentor, all of whom volunteer
yep.
their time. So there's a huge effort that we undertake each year to secure mentors, and people can register on the Pinnacle website to yep. become a mentor. And then we have committees of volunteers in every state and territory.
So you're talking about thousands of people.
It's a lot of people who get involved. And then we have a lot of – the other element is we don't receive government funding. So our funds come from either individual donors, particularly from our community, or in more recent years we've heavily focused on securing support from many, many corporates. And there's a lovely linkage to – what's happening within corporations where, you know, as organisations try to become more inclusive and yes. encourage people to be safe in the workplace, by supporting Pinnacle, we will often, where it's safe to do so, have scholars or alumni go into their organisations
yeah.
and share their stories and help to get particularly parents of young people thinking, what would I do if that was my child? And that powerful critical reflection is something that is really important and also incredibly authentic. And, you know, we see that as being, I guess, a big part of why we've been able to continue to grow and to fund as many scholarships as we do, because we're obviously a charity that chews up funds because yeah. we're giving out a lot of funds.
Andrew, can I just take a step back? Because yes. I feel that for many people, education is a rite of passage, that we finish our high school education and the next obvious step is university or TAFE or a skills education. But education in itself has such a transformative impact on the individual's life, but often the people around them. So if you're the first in your family to go to yes. university, or if you have a migrant experience, you can often take on that educative role within your family and within your community as well. It changes lives. And for that reason, the Pinnacle Foundation makes such a difference. And you actually, I saw on your website, you have a report, Are We Making a Difference?
Yes.
Do you have any personal reflections of your involvement and seeing those changes happen?
Yes. Look, there are so many examples of seeing young people go on a journey. And I just think back to when I grew up. I went to school in an outer suburb of Melbourne in the 1980s, and school for me wasn't particularly easy. I was bullied and called a poofter and a faggot and, you know, all those sorts of things through school. And I didn't tell my parents that I was gay until I was well into my 20s, because I was fearful of,
yep.
you know, how they might respond, you know, and ultimately they responded well. But at the time it was difficult, and I guess for me that made me realize I was blessed that my parents encouraged me to get an education, and that I saw as my ticket to escape from my upbringing. But I guess for me that informs why I'm so passionate about what Pinnacle Foundation does. But seeing young people who have faced difficult upbringings go on the journey and be supported through. In fact, Caitlin Georgeson, Macca, yes. who you interviewed yeah. some years ago, who was a Pinnacle Foundation scholar in Adelaide in the 2010s for 4 years, and then volunteered with Pinnacle in Adelaide and then moved to Victoria and volunteered with us here and now volunteers with us in Canberra and recently joined the Pinnacle Foundation board, our yes. first alumnus to join the board, sort of reaffirms, I think, that what we're trying to achieve. And we're seeing more and more of the Pinnacle alumni volunteering time back with the foundation or donating to support the foundation's work. And that's really what it's about. It's giving young people that opportunity. There was a great report that was written by the Mitchell Institute in 2017, counting the costs of lost opportunity in education. And it looked at the economic cost to society of young people not finishing an education. It was really, really significant. And some of the key factors that influenced that were severe peer victimisation, family disruption, all the things that we know happen for young LGBT people. And after Indigenous young people, LGBT young people were identified as the most at risk group. So, you know, I'd love to say that things are all better and, you know, it's great. And in parts of the community is getting better, but there are still vast numbers of young people who are still having really difficult experiences. I think the LGBTIQ plus Health Australia reports recently reaffirmed just how bad the situation still is for young people.
And I think, Andrew, you know, the reality is, you know, for your scholars, that you're lifting, you're helping to lift them, and I'm searching for the right word here. You're lifting them, you're giving them an opportunity to be the best they can.
Yes.
And you're providing the support, you know, the Pinnacle family, the financial support, the advocacy, the opportunities, and, you know, and you know, with someone ultimately joining your board. Mm. And what, you know, they then carry on the work because they know how transformative it is. 103.
Okay. We want to stay at around 100 scholarships a year if we can. Obviously, there's a huge fundraising effort that goes in each year to achieving that. But and we do have the other program that I know we talked about last time I was on, but the LGBTQIA plus Executive Fellowship.
Yes.
That we're running again in June, the 3rd to the 7th this year at the University of Sydney Business School.
Mm.
And that's a week-long course. And that's, again, trying to – it's a program that's designed to give more mid- to senior-level people in our community who might be really high potential that opportunity to get to the top in terms of leadership. So it's delivered by the professors from the business school and with lots of support from our community. So, you know, people like the Honourable Michael Kirby,
yes,
Paul Zara, Anna Brown all make guest presentations at the fellowship. I went on the fellowship last year and it was incredibly uplifting. And one of the reflections that came out, there was a person at the fellowship and she has done lots of training. She's quite senior in business. And she reflected at the end of the first or the second day, do you know, this is the first time I've been at a program where, you know, someone hasn't said to me by the end of the first day, oh, what's your husband doing, and snigger while you're away. And she said, you know, and then instantly you're on guard and you're having to measure what you say. And someone else just commented, this is what it must feel like to be straight. We never think about these things. And it made me think that, yes, it was a totally safe environment to learn and to lean into your LGBT leadership. So,
you know, sometimes, you know, a question we're all often asked, but no one's ever said to any of the other leaders in our society, the heterosexual leader, oh, so when did you realise you were straight?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, I think with Pinnacle, what does the future hold, Andrew? You know, you say you want to keep around that 100 scholarships, but what does the future hold? You know, it's a very different environment. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of discrimination against our community. In fact, I think it's worse than it's been for a long time. So the role that Pinnacle plays in providing these opportunities to people that are impacted by that, how do you counter that? How do you weave that into how you select people,
yes,
and how you support them,
yes,
and how you advocate?
Yes. Well, maybe if we start with the advocate part first, one of the things that we've been working really hard to do, and we're particularly using the vehicle of all of the corporate support we get, because we know we can magnify the voice through, you know, whether it's BHP's workforce or Rio Tinto's workforce or Commonwealth Banks or Macquarie's or AGL's, or, you know, there's many, many partners who support us. What we've historically done is been sort of relatively overt in saying, well, let's get scholars in on days of significance. It's Eidehobbit, it's Wear It Purple Day, whatever. We're now increasingly talking to our partners about how do we just embed this in ways, yes, which aren't sort of a special here is a day and, mm, you know, certain people will go, well, I'm not going to that because that's, you, yeah, know, that's over there, that's woke, that's this, that's what, you know, whatever we're increasingly seeing happening overseas. So we're working really hard to try and embed, you know, it might be town hall meetings every year, mm, in an organisation, right, or when new people come into an organisation, having a session with Pinnacle early on, which really sets, this is the agenda that we have as an organisation. And then sort of linked to that, we're really fortunate to have support through Unlimited and a strategy developed by TBWA and being delivered by Kokogun, which will go live. We've not talked about this yet, so I hope I'm not revealing too much. But
we got it out of you by, yeah, torture.
We have a campaign that will go live in a pro bono campaign in June of this year, which is really targeting parents to have what we're terming the awkward conversations with, yep, their children around being potentially LGBTQIA+. Yeah. So, you know, catch lines like don't balks at orcs talks and, you know, all these clever things about awkward conversations.
Yeah.
But really focusing on parents and getting parents to just think about what they would do and maybe have a conversation with their, yeah, children, because we know it's enormously protective if a if a child has support from their parent. And ultimately, if more parents supported their children, we wouldn't be, yeah, needed, because, you know, parents would be doing the job that ultimately, you know, we end up doing, because we know there are too many kids who are still being rejected.
And it makes a lot of sense for the Pinnacle Foundation to take on that educative role, yeah, mm-hmm, because we hear a lot from particular members of the community, parents saying this is not the role of schools to have these, mm-hmm, and facilitate these conversations. But many parents themselves haven't had that support to understand how do we do this and how do we, yes, do this safely. And you might get a word wrong along the way, but it's about the intent. It's about the support.
Exactly.
And having those catchphrases there, it can just provide that reminder that I can do this, and, yes, this is how I'm going to do it well.
Exactly. And that is something that is so, so important. And we know for a lot of parents, if they've just never thought about it,
mm,
they'll often reflect when, you know, if a child does say to them, well, I'm whatever,
yeah,
they reflect that they didn't respond as well as they could have had they have just even vaguely thought about, yeah, it at some point in the past. And that's what we're really, with that campaign, trying to encourage. So we're really excited for that to go live. But then on the other side, coming back to what does that mean for our scholarships? Well, it certainly means that we've had to take a much different approach with how we share information about scholars now, because we used to always include scholar surnames and things, but,
yeah, yeah,
the trolling and the things that are happening,
yeah,
and even now, being very conscious when we do put scholars into situations and alumni that they are safe situations for them, because the last thing we want to do is to put someone who's faced a challenging,
yeah, yeah,
into risky situations.
It's been, you know, I've observed Pinnacle, you know, for quite a long time, and I think it's an outstanding organisation that quietly, and perhaps not so quietly of late, mm, which I think is good,
mm,
goes about its work, and, you know, that the people that benefit from this, it's not just the individuals, it's their family,
yeah,
you know, it's their extended network, it's the organisations they work for, and it's, at the end of that, it's the satisfaction they get, but it's that they then get to put back, they then become leaders, they then become contributors, and it has such a multiplier, yeah, effect. So
it really,
you can feel really proud,
thank you,
of what you do, and all your fellow board members and everyone that works for Pinnacle and everyone that contributes to Pinnacle. It's like joy, you know. There's no one thing we can pin it on, but when you make a positive difference and you can measure it,
mm-hmm,
right, and you keep doing it and you enhance it, that's what success looks like. That's what
Change looks like.
That's what change looks like. That's what good works looks like. So thank you for what you do and everyone associated with Pinnacle does, because it changes lives and it actually makes lives better, and in some cases it saves lives.
Indeed.
And there is no greater measure.
No, and look, all the people that volunteer with Pinnacle nationally, I would say almost without exception, get tremendous value back by just that intrinsic reward of seeing people achieving.
It's like compound interest.
But it's so constructive. It's really supporting the next generation of our community to go on and have a voice and be powerful and to be the advocates for our community of tomorrow.
Good on you.
Thank you.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. You're most welcome to stay. Our next guest
is Ro Bright. We're going to be speaking.
Anxiously waiting to speak with us.
CEO of the Tilda Festival, which is going to be launching very soon. Stay tuned. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.